episode of Vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast brought to you by NBA 2K26. It's myself, Momutsi, alongside me, the legendary Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, how you doing today?
I'll tell you what, it is beautiful and sunny here. We are ready to go in beautiful Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Mardi Gras time.
Okay. Well, over here, it's actually rain. It's a rare day of sun. It was still freezing cold. Bit of sunshine, though. It wasn't too bad, but we enjoying the festivities of Ramadan. So Ramadan Mubarak to all my people listening and locked in.
Very good.
We've got about an hour here as we're recording this on Sunday evening before we can break fast. So if I don't talk too much, it means my lips are dry as hell. But I'm super excited, Coach, because it's All-Star Weekend's done. It's the end of February. But that means, you know what that means? March Madness is around the corner.
Oh, I love March Madness.
Do you know who else loves March Madness, Coach?
Probably NBA 2K26.
How did you know? Because, you know, college basketball is heating up and there's all new college-themed content. And more exciting than that, my guy Zach Armitage of 2K has announced that 2K is building the definitive basketball universe, uniting the NBA, WNBA, and soon the collegiate ranks under one banner. Authentically representing the most elite level of sports is an ambitious undertaking and one that we will continue to scale over time, beginning with our foundational college experience next year.
Oh, I could love that. I mean, because I know college inside out.
Yeah, I'm gonna need your help on that, because in the meantime, while you guys are waiting to get your hands on that, there's all new college rewards in my team, so you can get guys like the VJ Edgecomb at Baylor or Jason Williams at Florida, so on and so forth. They've got a Coach Larry Brown at Kansas coaching card in there. Wow. That you can get for your team. You can also get different college mascots, different game day bundles for your My Player. There's a whole bunch going on NBA 2K26, so make sure you head over there to get your fix of college basketball before March Madness begins. And Coach, There's a lot of good players that are going to be playing in this tournament, right?
Yes.
I don't know if Darren Peterson's going to play much, but there's a lot of talent. I don't know what's going on with him. I really am confused because I don't follow college basketball too much until it's time to really scout prospects. You know what I mean? Every time I hear stuff, I'm hearing this, I'm hearing that. The kid don't want to play, or is the kid hurt so he can't play? Or what's going on there?
Well, let's put it this way. I hope he's hurt.
Wow.
I hope he's hurt.
Give the context as to why
I hope he's hurt from a standpoint of the alternative is he doesn't love to play, doesn't want to play much, because the great thing about sports, any sport, but especially when you're really good at sports, is that the passion that one has for being, whether you're a musician, a singer, or an athlete, is to be excel at what you do. And most of those high performers are just love what they do. And the old saying, Mo, I would have coached in the NBA for free. I'm happy as hell I got paid a lot of money, but I would have done it for free because I loved it so much. And that's the way these kids, when they were young, they played for free and they were excelled at it. Now someone's actually going to pay them. That's great. I just hope that he's hurt from a standpoint and that he hasn't lost his love of playing.
Yeah.
Because he's too young. That's all I mean.
I mean, if you look at his jump shot from a couple of years ago to his jump shot now, like the lift that he gets off the floor is minimal now. So it looks to me like either he's not just stopped loving the game, but he's mechanically changed how he shoots the jump shot, which is more likely to be an injury.
Sorry, I had to drink it.
My
NBA-sponsored Sprite. Yes, I'm sorry.
but do you get what I'm saying? I think he's more injured than he wants to let on so that his draft stock doesn't fall. I think
what's happening by him not playing is the antennas are up. The red flags are up everywhere in the NBA are saying, we got to do a deep dive and see what this is. Because as someone said the other day, you know, online, that an NBA person said some owners would pay $100 million for the first pick. And I laughed at it and I said, that's a joke. And then I thought about it and I said, if I could get Michael Jordan for $100 million, or if I could get, you know, some players for $100 million, it would look like a pretty good real estate investment for a business person. So shame on me for thinking that it was an absurd statement.
Yeah, it can change the trajectory.
Some people say it might be conservative statement.
We ain't going there.
No, I mean, like, you know, the idea of getting Lew Alcindor, a.k.a. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, years ago. I mean,
even 2 years ago, imagine if teams could bid to get the number one pick to draft Victor Wembanyama. That would have been more than $100 million.
That's what I'm saying. It would have been a $250,000 minimum.
Yeah.
Maybe more than those NBA Europe franchises.
$1 billion.
But
there's a lot of talented guys. Cam Boozer has been playing great. AJ DeMansa. And then there's guys all the way through the draft. Like I was reading something from a draft expert, quote-unquote expert, who said that the players at 10 through 30 in the first round, you could have them in any order and it wouldn't make a difference because that's how much talent is in a draft this year.
Yeah. Asterisk disclaimer, the person that is saying that is not picking. Let me tell you something. It's the deepest draft of freshman college players I've ever seen. Yep. Freshmen. I don't think we're going to have an international player picked in the first 10 to 15 players.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and you know how much I love international players. We had Richichet go one, Alex Sarr, you know, those guys going 1-2 every year. This Edgecombe, I'm telling you, this year could be 1-15 All-Americans. Freshmen.
Well, the reason why I bring up all of these great college players, Coach, is the hot topic in the NBA is tanking.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the NBA where, in my humble opinion, I don't know if I'll get in trouble for saying this, you have a lot bigger problems to deal with than tanking, right? It's every year this happens, right?
100%. You're right on that, by the way.
Just before the All-Star break, thank you, Coach. Just before the All-Star break, media guys get kind of bored because players are resting and so on and so forth, and they want to complain about something, so they complain about tanking, right? And I don't know what dictates NBA policy. Is it just whatever's trending on Twitter is what the league office will investigate? Because now, all of a sudden, at All-Star Weekend, Adam Silver is addressing tanking like it's the worst thing in the world, and it's not been going on since forever, even though I'm not even going to get into the other problems that are going on right now. But we're going to talk a little bit about tanking here, Coach.
Sure.
Because they've tried a lot of different things. They tweaked the lottery odds back in 2019. Didn't work. They introduced the play-in. Didn't work. Every time they've tried to come up with a solution, didn't work. Or maybe it did, because my opinion is I'm okay with a little bit of tanking. Like, I'm perfectly fine with it. Do you know why? This is a league where the commissioner himself has come out and said it's a highlights league. Okay? So if the head of the company is telling you what the league is trying to do, I'm just the idiot for tuning into a Utah Jazz game at 5 a.m. on a Wednesday night. That's my fault. Sure. I can't blame anyone else. That's my fault. The commissioner has said, just watch the highlights. I'm the idiot for trying to watch the fourth quarter of a Jazz Hornets game. It's my fault. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not mad at anyone. I'm the idiot. But I digress. That's just my personal anecdote. Coach, do you have any solutions right off the bat for tanking? Well, because there's some proposals.
I want to talk about Adam Silver. Okay, I've known Adam for quarter century, and he's brilliant, and the thing is, he's a collaborator of people, which all leaders are. He takes in opinions of people, which good leaders do. He's not authoritarian in any way. We are a league that's run by our people, which are the 30 owners. He works for them, and he's a terrific listener. And he also knows how to address problems in a way that is not causing. And so I think he's trying to say, what he wants to do is, and rightly so as our leader, is to protect the integrity of the game. And when we have gambling now, betting, prop bets, you know, as you have in Europe with football and stuff, that is outside forces coming into the game, which affects integrity somehow, some way. So he wants to make sure the integrity is protected. And we don't want people saying teams are intentionally trying to lose, because now you're basically, gamblers are now watching. So I think I came into the league in 79-80 when the teams that had the worst record flipped a coin at the end of the year. And those team got the first pick. And the other team got the second pick. Okay, and teams were fooling around when it got real close. The NFL, the number one sports business in the world, determines their draft status by records. Mm-hmm. The worst record gets the first pick, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty successful. But here's my... Go ahead.
Before you give your solution, the difference between basketball in the NBA in particular and everything else, the sport of basketball, one player can make such a big impact on a team compared to American football, compared to football that we have, international football, compared to baseball. The NBA, there's five guys on the court. And if you get a transcendental talent that's going to play 35, 40 minutes a night and dominate in those minutes, that impacts the game way... Like, you can have a great quarterback, but he's only on the field for half the game because you're playing defense for the other half of the game. Right? Like, you can have a great striker, but if you don't have a great defense and midfielders, he ain't getting the opportunities to score. Whereas in the NBA, you can literally see LeBron or Giannis freight train from one end to the other, score a bucket. Or you can watch Luka dribble for a whole possession and somehow, some way, like I watched the Lakers Clippers game the other night, Chris Dunn would play like 23 seconds of perfect defense and Luka would still find a way to score, right? One guy can make such a big impact on the game of basketball. So
that's a great point.
That's why basketball is unique, and I don't like comparing it to, well, we don't have tanking in this and we don't have tanking in that, because the sport itself is so different to everything else.
No, those other sports do have tanking. That's my point.
Yeah.
Football does. They do. Wow. They do. Yeah, there were teams that...
But do they have the
team that got the first pick.
Do they have people complaining about it, though?
Well, they did, because the best defensive player on the team that had the worst record, they held him out the last two games, and he was pissed, the player. And so, and they got the first pick because they lost the last two games, and they actually fired the coach. and it wasn't his decision to hold the player out. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, the team that had the worst record in the NBA a couple of years ago did not get Victor Wembanyama.
I think for the last 5 years, the team with the worst record has not had the number one pick.
I think, yeah. So what you're doing is you're basically saying odds and basically with all these different things. So I feel that it's a
odds,
real problem.
Odds, by the way, coach, that I decided behind closed doors,
yes,
in a sealed room, but don't worry, you can 100% trust us. Even though we won't let any of you see the process, you can believe us because a lawyer we pay is in the room to make sure everything is fine.
And the accounting firm that's holding the results.
Yes. Yeah. Everything is fine. Everything is normal here.
Yeah.
It's completely normal, guys, that Victor Wembanyama is going to get drafted by the team he supports.
So do you know why I think for our fans, especially our fans internationally, the reason we have the draft is to balance out the talent in the league.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you have a terrible season, and you just have a bad season, you have tons of injuries, and you've gone through hell, frankly, as a coach, as a player, and as a franchise, the saving grace is we might get something to help us in the draft, to help our talent. Okay? And so I think that this year, I think a reward has to be given to those teams that have struggled and had a bad year. Not someone that's holding your pick, per se.
This is the thing, Coach. Yes. A lot of people in the media and fans, they look at this tanking thing and they assume that some teams would win more games if they just tried harder. Some teams are just bad teams.
That's right.
There is nothing you can do. The NBA has so many great players and so many great teams. Some teams are just bad.
Some teams have great coaches. Some teams have great front office people. All things are not equal.
Yeah.
All men are not created equal. I don't care what anyone says. This is the NBA.
The perspective on this is like, they will post the record of like the bottom half of the standings, be like, all these teams are trying to tank. And I'm there like,
no, they're not.
Some of them are just bad teams. Like, respectfully to everyone involved, some teams are just poorly constructed, bad. Like the Pelicans, right? They don't own their draft pick this year. They have no interest in being bad. Unfortunately for them, they have had so many health issues that they couldn't get consistency with their lineup. They've had to fire their head coach, so on and so forth. So they've had a bad season. They are not trying to lose on purpose. Joe Dumars is not ever trying to lose games on purpose.
The man is a champion.
Exactly. People who have this thing about tanking is, look how many teams are trying to lose. And then they'll include like the Pelicans. And I'm like, but they don't even own their pick. They are just having a bad year.
Right.
And anyway, coach, continue. Sorry, I just had to get that one off my chest.
No. So I think a lot of people don't realize this. I think people that have been, I've been in the, associated with the league for 47 and a half years, and I've seen everything, experienced most. Mm-hmm. I'm not smarter than anyone, but I have a lot of experience, as I always say. And so I look at it, and we have a problem, and so we're seeing. I know the NBA talked about with their front office people seven solutions, which I don't know if you want to discuss or not.
Yes.
Why don't we do that, and I'll tell you my idea.
Well, before we get into the seven, the first one, I have to repeat myself. I think I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago on the show. Sure. The idea of getting rid of the draft and rookie free agency, anyone who's suggesting that is an idiot. I'm trying to be nice about it, but you can't do that, okay? The money is too much. Companies will send their guys to the best markets, even if you do this solution that they're suggesting of giving the teams who are worse bigger salary slots. Doesn't matter. The off-the-court money is insane. Look at, for example, Zion Williamson coming into the NBA. He got his Jordan brand deal. He was on the cover of NBA 2K. If you had said that those brands could just put in a little bit extra and get him on the New York Knicks, they would have done that in a heartbeat. So,
well, let me add one more thing. Forget the sneaker companies. They're irrelevant, in my opinion. What will be in the U.S.? Our U.S. economy right now is phenomenal. You know, all on AI companies.
Oh, yeah.
So all of a sudden, NVIDIA, who is a multi-trillion-dollar company, says, I like the Lakers. I like the guys from Golden State.
Yeah.
I like Golden State. Guess what? We're going to go out and get Victor Wembanyama when he's coming out. Yeah. So
I want to watch this guy 41 games of the year at home.
And he gets a nice endorsement deal from that AI company.
Yep. Yeah. And the other thing is gambling companies, but that's a whole nother.
It's a whole other area.
Down. But so the idea of abolishing the draft and doing rookie free agency, ridiculous. Don't ever ask me about that again in your lives. Okay. Proposal number one is that first round picks. And by the way, these proposals now are the ones that Adam Silver and the 30 team owners discussed at their meeting on Thursday last week.
Okay.
Proposal number one is first round picks can only be protected top four or top 14 plus. So you can't protect picks between 5 and 14.
Yeah, and that's fine, except the problem is we have allowed teams to make deals. I think it's at least 7 years out you're allowed to do trade, including draft choices, 7 years from now. And so there's deals that are on the table already, and how do we erase? You can't erase those.
This idea was 100% lobbied for by OKC because they own Utah's pick, which is protected top eight this year. I'm 100% sure that this is for OKC, right? It's a ridiculous suggestion because, okay, cool. I can't put a top eight protection on my pick, so I'm just going to put a top four protection and tag even harder. That's all this is going to do. That one goes out the window for me.
Okay.
I'm giving that an F grade. I'm giving it an F.
Okay, cool.
Okay, the proposal number two, lottery odds freeze at the trade deadline.
That, to me, like, I didn't get that at all.
That's an F minus because all that's going to do is make teams tank earlier. The and then they say, well, at least after the trade deadline, they'll want to compete. No, they'll rest all of their players because they're about to get a superstar in the draft and they don't want anyone being injured for next season when that player arrives. Okay, let's use our brains here. That's an F minus. Okay.
Very good.
Number three gets a little interesting. No team can pick in the top four in consecutive years and/or after consecutive bottom three finishes.
I don't buy that because, you know, if you're bad, you're bad sometimes, you know.
Here's the other thing is, like, look at the San Antonio Spurs, how good they are now. They benefited from having some consecutive high picks in the NBA draft.
With one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yep. I just think it's weird, like, to change all these things now.
You know what I mean?
So, like, okay, if you can't pick in a top four in consecutive years, so if I can have a top four pick this year, but I can't have a top four pick next year, I'm still going to tank. Because if I even finish in the lottery with a top four pick, you're saying I can't have it, you're going to put me at fifth. There's still great players available at the fifth spot.
Sure.
So, and it's consecutive years, right? So I'm going to be bad this year, get a top four pick. I'm going to be bad next year, guarantee myself the fifth pick. And you know what? Forget it. I'll just be bad a third year and get another top four pick. Then we can start trying to win. This ain't going to solve nothing. And then you can't get a top four pick after consecutive bottom three finishes. So if I suck this year, if all my team is injured this year, like look at the Kings. They haven't had their starting five has played zero games together this whole season. Right.
Not once.
That's not their fault. They didn't do that on purpose.
They didn't go to training camp with that as their game plan.
Exactly, right? So we've had a bad season this year. We're bummed. Next season, if more injuries happen and you find yourself in the bottom three, where you're going to say, oh no, you can't have a good draft pick because your players got injured. This is ridiculous. We're giving this one an F. We're giving all these things an F so far. I don't think
there's anything above an F yet.
Okay, proposal number four. And this one is so, like, whoever proposed this hates the Indiana Pacers. Okay, you ready for this one? Teams can't pick in the top four the year after making the conference finals.
Oh my God.
Like, who in that room? I think it would definitely had to have been the Knicks owner who just hates the Pacers. Because, all right, cool. Let's break this down logically, right? You make the conference finals and you shouldn't have a top four pick the next year. So we're going to say, okay, Indiana, not only did you make the conference finals, you made the NBA finals, you made game seven of the NBA finals. And then the, not just the best player on your team, but the offensive engine of your team, the one that makes everything else work, has torn his Achilles. So you are going to have a season where you have no chance of winning. And to make matters worse, we are not letting you have a nice draft pick, Tyler. Why are you going to punch that team twice?
That might be F minus also.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing. There is a possibility as well that you make the conference finals, not even make the conference, you could win a championship, your best player could leave. The Raptors won a championship, Kawhi Leonard walked out the door. Sure. There is a world in which you could win a championship, your best player could leave, your second best player could get injured, and your third best player could demand a trade. And you're saying just because you made the conference finals, not even won a championship, made the conference finals, that you're not allowed a good draft pick the next year? F minus. Ridiculous.
Might have to drug test the people submitting these recommendations.
Honestly. It gets worse. Okay. Are you ready for suggestion number five?
Lottery odds. Can't wait.
Lottery odds allocated based on a 2-year record.
Oh, jeez.
So instead of just tanking for 1 year, we're going to see a prospect 2 years out and we're going to start tanking a year early. So to make sure we have a terrible 2-year record. Who is coming up with his ideas? Like, I know you said Adam Silver loves to collaborate, but whoever he's collaborating with on these.
Well, no. What he did is he took the information and doesn't. I didn't say he's going to agree with it, but he's letting them. Maybe he's just saying, hey, let me see how many dumbasses I have in this room right now. Okay, here's
another one. Proposal number six. This is the funniest one for me.
I'm endearing myself to all.
Because remember, they created the play-in to eliminate tanking. Proposal number six, extend the lottery to include all play-in teams.
No.
Okay, so you mean to tell me, right?
But a play-in team could make the playoffs.
Yes. It says all play-in teams. So the
Miami,
seven seed,
was Miami a play-in team when they went to the finals?
Yes, I think so.
Yes, I think so.
No, but even if you finish as a seven seed, you're technically a play-in team.
I know that.
Are you not? Yeah. So if I'm the fourth or the fifth seed, I may as well lose a few games at the end of the year.
Get in the lottery.
Get to the seventh seed because I know I'm good enough to win the play-in. So forget it. Even if I'm the first seed, I'm doing this. If I'm the Detroit Pistons, I'm seeing all my guys for the rest of the year getting down to seven, winning the play-in, getting into the playoffs anyway, and getting a lottery pick. which could be the number one overall pick.
So, Mo, you know what we should really be doing is we know all these suck, these ideas. So what we should really be doing is guessing who is the team that recommended this. And so we know now this is a team that was in the, this is a team that was in the play. I'm not saying that Pat and Spo are my friends, so I'm not suggesting it was them. But it might be my Bulls. It might be my Bulls.
Hey, the Chicago Bulls are the perennial play-in residents, so maybe it was.
Yeah, we have an endowed chair. goodness gracious.
Proposal number 7. Thank God we're at the end of the list.
Thank God we're at the end.
It says flattening the lottery odds, right? So giving every team in the lottery the same odds is what I believe that to be mean.
I think so.
An equal shot at the number one pick, right?
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if you've got the worst record in the NBA or you miss the playoff by one game.
Right.
You get the same odds at a number
one pick. In other words, you're 14 versus the team that won 14, 15 games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you missed the playoffs by a half, by one game.
As like last year, Dallas, right, who were going to make the playoffs and then Kyrie got injured at the end of the year and then they dropped out and then they somehow got mysteriously the number one pick.
Amazing.
Amazing coincidence.
Shocking.
Complete coincidence that they traded Luka in gift wrapping to the Lakers, then ended up with a number one pick. But I digress. But flattening the lottery odds is...
We're not conspiracy theorists at all on the show.
I fully trust the NBA's accountants and lawyers who are in the closed room, not on camera, behind closed doors, doing this whole process to make sure it's fair. I completely trust them. Wholeheartedly. Anyway.
I still get my pension from the NBA, so I'm not,
it's all right. The NBA don't pay me, so
no, they pay me. Them for that.
All those 7 suggestions are terrible. Okay.
Okay.
So here's a few things that I have in my head. Okay. And I'm very spoiled from a fan perspective because I support a team that is very successful, the Boston Celtics, right?
Exactly.
However, there was a time, believe it or not, for our younger listeners, where they weren't very good.
Nope.
I believe in 2000...
Tim Duncan, we thought we were getting...
Yep, they thought they were going to get Tim Duncan, missed out on him. I believe in 2006, 2007, the Kevin Durant draft, they had the worst record ever in the NBA at the time, thought they were getting Kevin Durant, slid down to 5th in the draft, got Jeff Green. However, Danny Ainge, through his magic, traded that number 5 pick for Ray Allen and then was able to trade for Kevin Garnett. But whatever, that's not the point, okay? The point is, as a fan of a team, okay? I'm a fan of a team. Some of my favorite seasons have not been the ones where we know we're going to be good. Do you get what I'm saying?
Sure.
So like, one of my favorite seasons in recent memory is 2013, 2014. That's the worst the Celtics have placed in the past, like, 20 years, right? We had a horrible team, but we had guys that were just scrappy out there on the court. They were losing all the games, but they were fighting to try and win the games. Do you get what I'm saying?
Sure.
And then that year, we ended up with a 6th pick, and we got Marcus Smart, who ended up becoming one of my favorite players of all time. But I enjoyed that year because you're watching new guys come in, young players develop. So then in a few years later, when you are actually competing, you as a fan have watched those guys go from struggling to developing, or you've seen the trades that have taken place and how the team has been built, so on and so forth. And as a fan, I personally enjoy that experience, right? Because you know that through the draft system, if you're bad, you will get a good enough player that you can turn your fortunes around. Imagine having to sit through those tough seasons and a team that barely missed out on the playoffs is winning the lottery again and again and again. I think that would be ridiculous. But I don't have a problem with tanking. I like any Utah Jazz fan, because that's the team that this whole thing is about, right? Because they're benching their players in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And I understand. I think Utah in the last year was very egregious in holding out players. This year, I don't think they have been.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? As if you're a fan of the Jazz, if you have a chance to get AJ DeBanser on your team, I think if you ask any Jazz fan in the world, the ones that pay for the season ticket, the ones that buy the Jazz jerseys, They're perfectly fine with what's going on.
100%.
They're perfectly fine with it.
Yeah. Hey, so, and the owner, Ryan Smith, he owns the team. That's his investment. Let him run his business
exactly
as he wants.
Okay. So this is the point I'm making. As I said earlier,
yep.
Okay, the Jazz fans are happy with it. The NBA doesn't care because they said it's a highlights league anyway. So why are we caring enough to watch the fourth quarter of a Jazz game? So the team's cool with it. The fans are cool with it. The NBA's cool with it. Who's not cool with this? The gambling companies. That's what's really causing all of this, because now people's bets are getting messed up and the gambling companies don't know how to predict their odds because they don't know who's going to be available, who's going to be playing, and what the rotation is going to be.
That's
I tried to dance around it, right? I ain't going to lie to you, Coach. I'm too hungry to not tell the truth right now. I tried dancing around it at the start of the show. This is what it is. The gambling companies have said, listen, this is messing up our books. Fix it. That's why, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, now tanking's a huge issue. Tanking's not a huge issue. It really isn't that big of a problem in the NBA. There are so many bigger problems in the NBA
than
tanking. As an NBA fan, I sit there and I watch all of these games. First, why don't we talk about the officiating? Why don't we talk about the officiating of the game? Why don't we talk about how you can't barely touch someone and you have superstar players, some of the most talented athletes in the world, flopping their bodies around trying to bait fouls out of a referee? That is a bigger issue to me than tanking. Straight up, from a fan perspective of enjoying the game, that is a big issue. Why don't we address all the stoppages and how a fourth quarter can take 10 hours to complete? That is a bigger issue from a fan perspective than tanking. Why don't we address players not wanting to do things to grow the league? Like we talked about with All-Star Weekend, players don't want to suit up for the regular season. That's a bigger issue than tanking. The whole gambling thing, bigger issue than tanking. Bad teams being terrible and saying we don't want to get stuck in the purgatory of being Chicago Bulls where we're not good enough to compete, but we're not bad enough to get a draft pick. So we're just going to rest our guys and go get a good draft pick. And then next year, we're going to actually go compete. I ain't got no problem with it. And the only people who do have problems with it are either teams like OKC who own Utah's pick that is protected top eight. And they thought at the start of the year, OKC was sat there thinking, well, we're going to get maybe the number one pick from Utah. Not Utah, the Clippers, because that's not protected. And Utah are looking pretty good, so we might get the 10th pick from Utah. Now, all of a sudden, the Clippers have got better, the Jazz have got worse, and they might not get either of those picks. And now, oh, Adam Silver, can you please fix the tanking? Listen, this is ridiculous, okay? There are much bigger problems in the NBA than tanking, okay? If you are that upset, that the Jazz are resting their best players in the fourth quarter, it's your fault for watching the games. I know it's my fault. I know better than to watch the game and be upset about it. Do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
This is a fan product, right? This is an entertainment product for fans. So fans should be at the forefront of the decision-making process. How is this going to impact the millions of people around the world who we rely on to keep this business going? Because if the fans don't buy your products, the fans don't tune in and buy your TV services, so on and so forth, your product will grind to a halt. So why is external factors making a bigger impact on the decision-making process than the people who actually care about the games? And you're going to try brandish this as, no, well, fans want to respect the integrity of the game, so on and so forth, blah, 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 blah. You're lying because you already said it's a highlights league anyway. You don't think the fans are watching. You prioritize social media over the actual presentation of the game. So pick a lane. But that's my rant on tanking.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. I like it. I think the betting thing is absolutely the reason right now. If you look now, I looked last night before some of the games and today, and you watch the point spreads in games, it's the highest it's been all year. Games. Yep. 18, 20
points. I don't even know what that means. I'm going to lie.
18, 20 points gambling. NBA, it's unheard of.
Okay.
So that's because they don't know what players are out. That's what I'm saying.
I saw this video as well. Okay. I saw this video. It's a Golden State Warriors game. And, you know, they're winning by double digits. By double digits, they're winning the game. And then, like, they're letting one of the two-way guys that's in the game for the final minute or something. And I think they were up by, like, 14 or something. And then the two-way guy, at the very end, he shoots a three, and he scores the three. So they win by 11 points instead of 14 points, right? So your teammate has just hit a three-pointer. Maybe it was his first points in the NBA. I can't remember who it was, right? But this is like the video I watched. Everyone on the Warriors bench was not happy about that. They all collectively said, oh, F. Like, they tried to cover their mouth, but the alternative camera angle got... Do you know why, coach? Because someone connected the dots. The point spread was an 11 and a half Warriors win. And they was up 14, but because that guy hit that one shot, they won by 11, so it didn't cover the spread, as they say. Okay, now that's the players on the Golden State. That's Stephen Curry. Now, I'm not saying Stephen Curry and his teammates did anything. I'm just saying it's an interesting video that I watched.
Yeah, I've never had a player that knew what a spread was in a game. Coaches did. We knew. Because I remember when Chuck Daly, who was maybe the greatest coach ever in the NBA, I remember he would say to players, we would be favored by 8 points and we would lose by 14 points. And he'd say, something's wrong with our team. And he would say, those guys in Vegas think we were 8 points better. We lose by 14. We're not connected as a team. Not that anyone wasn't playing with integrity.
Oh, no.
And I thought that was really fascinating to me.
I'm not
but
saying...
But players to know that, scary.
I'm not saying Steph Curry and the Warriors are betting on their games.
I know that.
Maybe I didn't explain it right. The side effect, I don't know if you saw what Russell Westbrook's wife posted online this week.
A prop bet.
All the players know the spread or whatever it's called because they have to anticipate their inboxes being flooded by degenerate gamblers abusing them for not covering the spread. So that is why all the players know what the spread is.
Got it.
You talk to any player around the league, right? Talk to any of them. You can ask any of them, pull out their phone, and they will just have tons and tons of abusive DMs because someone bet on them to get 8 rebounds and they only got 7. Wow. And some of the messages I've been shown are so disgusting. Like, they're outrageous.
Terrible.
So that's why, and I did the show with BJ when they first announced gambling was coming to the NBA, and I said it's going to ruin everything, and here we are. Because getting back to the tanking stuff, there is no solution. There is no solution. I think it's fine. But what do you think?
I'll just give you one. I think Adam will do something because I think he will do something just to, somewhat please the owners and the media and fans. And I'm going to give him a simple answer and he doesn't have to give me a penny for it. Okay. We have 14 teams that do not make the playoffs. I think you can argue that, and you can look at this year, there'll be six on an average, there's six really bad teams every year. And so that you don't have to worry about whether you're last or whatever. The last six teams, should all get one ping pong ball, numbered 1 through 6. And only those people participate in this ping pong ball drawing. And team picks first, they get a pick. It might be 6. Another team might get 3. Another team, and that is it. And then teams 7 through 14, right? Yeah, teams 7 through 14, the other 8 teams, they also get one ball. And they're going to get from pick 7 to 14, the non-playoff teams. After that, everyone goes by their record.
Okay.
But they go in sequence. The first 6 are separate and the second are separate. It's not perfect. There's nothing that's perfect.
Do you know what would help improve it, though? If they did the lottery process in front of the public.
Oh, no, you could do this right. You could do this right there, in front of everyone.
That would be a lot better than what... Yeah. Because like,
It's made for TV, their little event, but you can do that. But, there might be 6 or 7 balls picked before a team actually gets to pick with the process say, that they do it.
Yeah, the reason why I say all of this is, I'm in the community of basketball fans, online, offline, everywhere I go in the world, I talk to basketball fans. And never in my life have I had so many people ask me, Mo, is the NBA draft actually real? And I say, what do you mean? And they say, oh, it can't be a coincidence that many times that certain teams getting certain picks. And I don't know how to respond. So I think that for transparency, you should just do it publicly in a nice way that the audience will understand.
And I agree, and I will not comment on my feelings about.
Well, on a more positive note, Coach, on a more yes. positive note, because I'm done complaining. I ain't talking about tanking.
We took care of that, Mo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we took care.
On a more
care.
Positive note, should we spread some love and let's talk about our all NBA teams for this season.
Man.
Because this was really tough because Giannis is, I can't even speak, ineligible. Right?
LeBron.
LeBron isn't, he wasn't going to be on my all NBA team anyway. I'm sorry.
LeBron, he's been no for X number of years. So oh, yeah. have,
yeah,
he's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
in last year, you know, he was, I believe, second team.
Yeah.
But you I know, mean, so
the
I
only
mean,
all NBA he, player with a negative plus minus ever, I think last year, but okay.
you digress.
Wemby can miss three more games. Jokic can only miss one more game. Kawhi can miss only four more games. I think Steph Curry, by not playing tonight, is ineligible now.
Yeah.
So it's really tough to do this. Not only is it tough because of the missed games, but it's also tough because there's so many great players in the NBA.
And Joel Embiid, of course.
So. Yeah, that goes without saying. Sure. First things first, I don't have a problem with the 65 game rule because in order to be all NBA, you have to play kind of all season long. Players are allowed to miss up to 17 games, which is a lot of games. So, you know, Coach,
20%
you're not
allowed,
you're not
season,
allowed
right?
to miss 17 podcast episodes. Yeah, I don't know why I do. So.
Shit.
Okay. Your late season tank from the podcast is ruined. Yeah,
okay. We'll see how this goes.
But we're gonna get into this and share our all NBA teams.
Let's see how we agree on this. Who do you like on your first team?
So I've done it as it stands today. Okay, because Jokic can only miss one more game. I don't know if he's going to miss or not. I'm not trying to predict.
No. Based on what we see today, this is our early picks.
Positionless. It's positionless. Yes. So my first team is SGA, Nikola Jokic, Cade Cunningham, Kawhi Leonard, and Jaylen Brown. I think SGA and Jokic are clearly the two best players in the NBA. Cade Cunningham is the best player on the best team in the Eastern Conference. Jaylen Brown has simply refused for this season to be a tank year for the Celtics like the Indiana Pacers have done. And I'm sick. Actually, I'm not even going to get onto that rant yet. We'll get to that.
Don't.
And then Kawhi Leonard has been the best player in the NBA probably since December. So just the last 3 months, I think he's been the best player in the league.
He's been one of the best.
Yeah, but as in,
he was the best in the quarter last week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, I've been watching Kawhi, and I'm just like,
he's spectacular.
Really hope he stays healthy.
He went down the other night, and I think he could be out.
Oh God. Anyway, yeah. Who's your first team, Coach?
I have the same team, but I put Wemby in there because I think downright he is the most valuable.
Instead of who?
Kawhi.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought Wemby is the biggest difference maker in the league. You insert Wemby on a team that has good players on it, and he takes him to another level. He's defensively, he's the force we thought he could be.
Already.
Yeah.
But here's the thing for Wemby, right? And I had this conversation with someone the other day. I'm not saying Wemby's the best player in the NBA.
I'm not either.
But I'm saying if I was starting a franchise and I could pick one player from the NBA to start my franchise with, it's definitely Wemby.
It's no doubt.
Okay. So I'm not saying he's the best player right now. I'm saying, but he is really the best. We all know he's the best, but we just can't say it yet. Do you know what I mean? But the only reason I didn't have him on my first team is he's played like hundreds of minutes less than the other guys, and he spent a bit of time coming off the bench. And that's obviously not in his control because he had injuries and stuff. But I wanted to give, you know, like Cade and Jaylen Brown have been doing this all season long consistently.
Sure.
Do you know what
but,
I mean?
You know, Wemby, and I give the Spurs credit for this, they have practiced load management the way you should. You know, load management was we don't let a guy play. And that's how the Spurs used to do it when Pop was coaching. They would sit four guys out, which was complete BS.
Yeah, they used to troll with that.
That was terrible. But now, when the guy's coming off a major injury, they don't start him, but they play him 24, 28 minutes. So he's there in the fourth quarter. mm-hmm. rather than waste them in the first and third quarter. Very smart. And I think Mitch Johnson's done an extraordinary job with him. I got nervous last night. He thought he got hurt. I thought he hurt his shoulder, but he's okay. Came back in the game. I always say, what's the value of a player? If there was an open market and you could actually buy a player.
Like in football.
European. There would be no one that would get the price that he would get. Not even close.
Double,
triple of what anyone else
they
could
would
get.
Not sell him. They would listen to offers.
I think it could be $1 billion for him. That's how good the guy is. And so, his age is so incredible.
So you have Wemby, Jokic, Jalen Brown, Cade SGA. And SGA. Yeah. Okay,
and
cool.
So and Jalen Brown.
We're pretty aligned on that first team.
Yeah.
Who's on your second team, though?
I think Anthony Edwards is now coming, waking up. I think the All-Star game has rejuvenated him. And now I think he's thinking, I think this team was the team that was the scariest for me for playoffs because I thought they have so much talent and they just weren't playing. And now all of a sudden, I think this guy, if he's engaged, I have Ant one, it's just incredible. I had Kawhi on my team and I liked Maxi. I think the kid's just been amazing. And, you know, old reliable is Brunson, man. I mean, the guy brings it every night.
Can I say this about Brunson?
Yeah.
The Rockets-Knicks game the other night.
Yeah.
He had a real tough game. You know, being guarded by Amon Thompson.
For him, tough game.
You know, he couldn't get a shot going. The fourth quarter of that game, he stayed composed. And yeah, he hit a couple shots. He hit a couple tough, like really, really tough shots in the fourth. Hit down a crazy shot over Kevin Durant and then stared him down afterwards. But he took two charges that swung the momentum in that game. And that is leadership.
He took at least three for the game also.
He took two of them in the fourth, putting his body on the line, stepping up. And we know he's not a good defender, but he's savvy enough to know that he can take a charge, right? And it just, the Rockets fell apart in the fourth. But I just wanted to give Jalen Brunson some love because, you know, if we get into the playoffs and we play against the Knicks, I ain't going to show him no love because I'm biased.
And
I
want
to give him the credit for that.
And I guess I got to put Luka as my fifth player.
Yeah, all offense, no defense. But the offense is so crazy. So we have the same top 10 players in the NBA right now.
Pretty much.
Because that's essentially what this is. Now they got rid of positions. This is essentially a ranking of the top 15 guys in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, because my second team was, obviously you had Kawhi, I had Wemby, Maxi, Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson, Luka Doncic. But then your third team.
I got Durant, all reliable.
I've got Durant, yep.
Guy's fatherless. I mean, he's not fatherless.
Fatherless.
Ageless.
Yeah, not fatherless. That's crazy.
It was the wrong word. Ageless. I'm a lot of people in the league don't like him. I love Donovan Mitchell, you know, because I look at him as like, I love people that are singers and performers. They just show up every night. That guy shows up to me every night and performs.
I think some people would have Donovan Mitchell maybe on second team. Some people have even heard him on the first team because of the stats. I just think, listen, the Cavs really, up until the last 2 weeks when they got James Harden, the Cavs stank. They stank. Yeah. Let's just call it what it is. Right. So,
and injury, and they had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, they had a lot of injuries, but so does the Celtics.
No, but I'm saying, but they had multiple players hurt. But, I mean, but
this is what I'm saying though, is I can't put Donovan Mitchell ahead of a Jaylen Brown, for example, which I've seen some people do talking about all NBA. But yeah, so I got KD as well. I got Donovan Mitchell. Who else have you got?
I'm just so proud of what this kid has done as a young guy. And I think the reason the Pistons might be the best team in the league is because of Jalen Durant.
Yep. They got the best best defense or second best defense and one of the best offenses in the NBA.
And because his body, he went to the same gym I went to, you know, I think, you know, he's just so damn tough. I just love the guy. I'm not into tattoos, but that guy, I'd give him a bad boy tattoo. He is a bad boy,
I agree. I've got him on my team. We've got two more spots.
Go ahead. I'm struggling on
I've got James Harden.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad.
I feel like the media has a grudge against James Harden. A lot of people in the media hate on James Harden unnecessarily.
I know that.
And then for my final spot, I actually have Jalen Johnson.
Ooh, what a great pick.
You know, like, think about it. He's so good that his team wanted to salary dump Trae Young so it could be his team now. And he's averaging basically almost a triple-double.
Jalen Johnson is the most unsung star in the league.
Yep.
And my other player, if you don't like James Harden, my outside pick is Scottie Barnes.
Yeah.
Mr. Versatile.
Yeah, Scottie Barnes has been good. I just think, for me, I put James Harden there. Not only
I like
because
James Harden. I like
how
James
he's Harden. Impacted the Cavs since he's got there, but also the Clippers. Can we be honest about the Clippers now? Is enough time passed for us to say it? Ever since they got rid of Chris Paul, they started being good again. Is it enough time gone? Like, and Chris Paul's doing this media tour, he's doing all his interviews. Oh, they didn't want me to give advice to my team. Shut up, man. You're lying. Something's not true about that because you lot stank and then you left and they started winning all the games. I don't know what happened, but I don't think it's as simple as they didn't want me giving advice to my teammates. I don't believe it.
Well, you know, I have much respect for Chris and his career. And if he's one that wants to give advice, which he should because he has a lot to share, then he should be a coach.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then he'll really get an opportunity to do that and share his wisdom because that's what people should do. We have so many players that are missing games now, you know, the Jalen Williams and guys like that are missing games that are now ineligible for awards that you thought preseason were going to be getting awards.
Would you have Chet Holmgren on here?
I like Chet, but I don't like him as a top 15 player in the league.
Who's your defensive player of the year so far this year?
Woohoo.
Because I might have Chet as because he's been amazing defensively, but the reason I don't have him on my all NBA teams is for the pedigree that you come into the league with as a top three pick. You know, you put yourself in these talks with Chet versus Wemby, but defensively Chet is great, fantastic, one of the best defenders in the NBA right now in terms of protecting in the paint, not fouling, so on and so forth. Rebounding can be somewhat of an issue sometimes, but on offense. He's like a role player on offense. Do you get what I'm saying?
Sure.
But you should be more than that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I called the game of the Bucks and the Thunder. Okay? Bucks and Thunder on Prime. Now, Giannis was out. Ryan Rollins was out. So it was like a beat-up Bucks team. Also, Shea was out and Jalen Williams was out.
And Doc Rivers was out.
Yeah, that's the game, right? So I'm looking at that game and I'm talking about this is Chet's opportunity to show just how great he is. Do you know what I mean? Like your team needs you to step up and be the number one option. He didn't. And there was like 2 minutes to close out the second quarter where he was aggressive. And then as soon as the second half started, I don't think he even scored in the second half. He just vanished and they got their ass kicked and they lost the game. Watching that one game, I can't put him in the All-NBA conversation. And I know it's stupid to base off one game, but I'm like... This is what, if your players are all out, if you got a big three and two of them are out, this is your chance to go crazy with it. If you're the LeBron, D-Wade, and Bosh, and D-Wade and Bosh are injured, you don't think LeBron's going to go put up 50 points? Like, come on, man, this is it. And like, that's why I'm not going to check.
I'm going with Wemby as my defensive player of the year.
If he doesn't miss three more games.
No, where we're going by right now.
Yeah.
And I just think the guy just changes the game. When I'm watching their game last night against, I watched their last two games post All-Star break because they're playing in Austin, Texas, these two games. And I said, they had him standing next to the centers of the other team. He was a foot above them. And the guys were 6'11 and 7 foot tall. He looked like he was 7 foot eight. I know he's 7 foot five, but he looks a foot taller.
Mm-hmm.
And he changes everything around the basket. I like him as defensive player of the year. But the thing that I think we're going to surprise people with is MVP area. this is, again, 25 games, 26 games away from it, season ending, where we vote on it. But for, with what are you thinking right now?
Just for the defensive player, I said last year and I said the year before, no one needs to ask me defensive player of the year because it's Wemby's award until he stops playing. 10 years. Anyway, MVP. Right now, I'm giving the MVP. See, my heart wants to say Jaylen Brown, but I can't in good consciousness say Jaylen Brown. It's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I was thinking about this the other day. Aside from the foul bay-in, which is based on your perspective, there's no flaw in his game. He can score, he shoots the three efficiently. He can get whatever he wants in the mid-range. He can get to the hoop. He can make plays for his teammates. He can defend. He can rebound for his position. What more do you want?
Yeah, I have Cade Cunningham as my MVP.
I would not be mad if Cade Cunningham won MVP.
I just think he is, I think he's taking huge steps, but more importantly, he's so humble and he's such a good leader with that team, and he is not afraid to carry them, like Shai is also not afraid to carry his team.
Yeah.
And both of them are carrying their teams. And that's what I worried about, Shai getting hurt before the season. He'd have to do too much, and sure enough, it's come true.
Yep.
But I like Cade right now as my MVP. I like Ant coming on strong. Ant-Man.
For MVP, what's your criteria? Do you have a criteria?
Yeah.
Because for me, I always just think the best player on the best team. That's my default saying. So I'm like, Shai is the best player on the best team.
Yeah. I just like a guy that just makes a difference above all others in the league for the group that he's leading. Mm-hmm. And usually a team that is winning at a pretty high rate. So my guys, my five guys are Cade is my MVP. And then in no particular order, Ant, SGA, Jokic, and Jaylen Brown.
I agree with that.
Jaylen Brown, just phenomenal this year. You know, and I don't have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I just got right now, this guy's on top. In a week, it could change.
I'm happy with any of those five, to be honest.
Yeah, they deserve it, and probably more.
I'm going to get back to my rant that I wanted to have earlier.
I'm going to drink a Sprite.
Yeah, you drink your Sprite. I've still got 15 minutes until I can break my fast, so I'm going to just rant away, okay?
You should just make sure it's dark outside, and then you can go.
I'm sick and tired of people sending me stats. When I say Jaylen Brown's MVP level player, and they send me this stat, and it's the Boston Celtics are better with Jaylen Brown off the court than on the court. And then they're using like some sort of net rating, I don't know what numbers they're using, right?
Don't either.
I'm going to tell you guys right now, okay? I'm going to tell you guys right now, leave the numbers alone. Just leave them. Do you know why, yeah? I was talking about a few weeks ago, I was tweeting about, I think Şengün should be All-Star. And someone replies, no, he's not. And I said, why not? And they said, out of all centers, he's the 97th percentile worst shooter. And I'm like, what? And like I appreciate what they were trying to say. They were talking about his true shooting percentage and his efficiency, and he's not very efficient, okay? And I said, cool, I accept all of these points. Now, all the other centers that you're comparing him to, do they have a point guard on their team giving them the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so this is my rant, okay? You're going to tell me, oh, but the Celtics are better when Jaylen Brown's on the bench compared to when he's playing, and Şengün's inefficient. Watch the games. I'm begging you guys, please stop sending me numbers from spreadsheets.
So how do all these analytic folks get your email?
God, it's in my bio in case brands want to hire me. But please, like, I'm not saying stats are bad, okay? I use stats, okay? But here's how it works, okay? Watch the games, okay? Then, when you watch the games with your eyes, okay? Then you go and look at the numbers and you see what numbers match up with what you have watched. Oftentimes, there will be stats that do not correlate to what you're actually seeing. There was a time when Enes Kanter, according to player efficiency rating, was the best player in NBA history. I can promise you, Enes Kanter never has and never will be the best player in anything ever.
In his mind. You know, stats, analytics are numbers that we use to, as a tool to affect winning. That is it. Jaylen Brown and the Celtics are winners. And his performance helps them win. End of story. That's the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our candidates that you and I have up here, Cade, SGA, Jokic, Jaylen Brown, even that, they're winning. Their teams are winning. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's a simple thing. One last thing before Ramadan kicks, and you can go have a nice drink for my friend there. I feel like I should buy you a meal. Is that I just am really I just wanted you to take a look at, if you had to predict now with a third of the season still to go, with 25, 26 games to go, how do you think the East will finish up 1 through 10? I've done that. And the West, 1 through 10.
1 through 10.
It's not the way it is now. That's my prediction.
I think Pistons stay in first seed.
I do.
I think the Cavs climb to second.
Okay.
I think the Knicks finish third. The Celtics finish fourth.
I have it Detroit, Knicks, Cleveland, Boston. And I think Cleveland, Knicks. I think Cleveland's get the team on the rise.
They're on a 7-game win streak right now.
But you can't catch Detroit.
Yeah.
And Boston, they're doing it on a wing and a prayer of heart.
I just think, excuse me, sorry. The Celtics, the reason why I have them dropping down is there is so much confusion now of the will Tatum return, won't Tatum return. It's going to distract from the actual basketball.
And he won't.
Yeah.
He won't distract. It's just whether will
he's
or
not distracting the media, because every 100%. Time you go to press, that's all they're asking you about. That's all the fans ask you about. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
They're only human at the end of the day. That's why I have them dropping down to fourth. But it could only be one or two games that separate second and fourth in the East.
I agree. Yeah.
And then after that, you've got the Raptors, Sixers, Heat, Magic, Hawks, Hornets, right? I think the Hornets could finish top six.
Whoa.
Or could they mathematically?
I don't think so. But
no, they couldn't. I have
Toronto being five, but I got Miami climbing up to six.
Yeah.
And I got Orlando dropping to seventh, and I got Philly dropping to eighth, and I got Charlotte coming in ninth and Atlanta 10th.
I like Charlotte. I think they can climb higher than just ninth.
But I think Charlotte's good. I think Charlotte's good.
What about the Bucks? The Bucks have put together a nice little streak recently.
Yeah, and they're not tanking.
Yeah, they're not. And everyone
said
back.
No, but everyone said, "Oh yeah, they should tank." You know, Windy and all these guys on ESPN. Oh, they Bobby Marks. They should tank, so they get a pick. Well, you know what? Those players are never involved in tanking.
Exactly.
And so guess what? Those guys are playing for their life.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so.
Western Conference. The Thunder are now just 2.5 games ahead of the Spurs. That gap is closing as the Spurs are on an 8-game win streak, right? They're chasing down that number one seed. Do you think the Thunder hold on to that number one seed?
I have them holding on, but boy, it could get close and they could overtake them easily. I haven't looked at the schedule of either.
With the injury to Shai, I don't know if they hold on to that.
And if they don't, OKC is in trouble.
Okay, so I'm just looking at the strength of schedule. The toughest remaining schedule in the league belongs to Denver. The second toughest schedule is Oklahoma City. The third is Minnesota, and fifth is Boston.
So I had OKC holding on. Spurs could overtake them with the schedule. I have Denver holding on to third, Minnesota moving up to fourth. I have Houston going to fifth, the Lakers going to sixth, and Phoenix with the Dylan Brooks injury and Booker injury. I have them at seven, the Clips going to eight, Portland at nine, Golden State dropping to 10th on their they want to.
Yes. I see that.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think we'll play many games the rest of the year.
I think the Spurs could leapfrog OKC at the top for that number one seed because I don't know when Shea's coming back.
Yeah. And if that's the case, Spurs home court advantage, it's a great thing to have.
Yeah. San Antonio.
Great thing to have. Spurs, home court.
I think the Houston Rockets in serious trouble. That fourth quarter against the Knicks, 8 minutes left in the game, they could not buy a bucket. It was disgustingly bad. I'm just going to rant about one more thing. Disgustingly bad offense, okay? Disgustingly bad offense. And I get it. You have injuries. Fred VanVleet tore his ACL in September. It's about to be March. Are you telling me that you really couldn't find a point guard anywhere in the world to come in and just give you some minutes? Look at Alvarado came into the game last night for the Knicks and changed the game. You could have got Alvarado.
He was fabulous.
Do you know what I'm saying? And they're like, people are like, who would Houston have got? Well, the Knicks got Alvarado. They didn't even need another point guard. They got Jordan Clarkson. They got Jaden Brunson. They got Landry Shamet. They didn't even need another point guard, but they saw the talent. They went and got it. Are you telling me Houston couldn't have done the same thing? I think they could have.
Yeah.
So Houston's in real trouble. You've got the Kevin Durant burner account situation where he's slurring out his teammates, right, in group chat.
I've heard that. I've read about that.
So you've got chemistry issues. You've got the coach with maybe a disconnect with some of the players. And then you've got the fact that your offensive plan down a stretch of games is literally give the ball to Kevin Durant and pray that the 37-year-old man can make every shot. And if, God forbid, he misses one or two, you lose. And that's what happened last night. So I'm worried about the Rockets. I think they could maybe drop down a bit further, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think the Lakers, I don't know where they're
they
going.
They do have an easier schedule.
The Lakers?
No, the Rockets have easier schedule.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I had them at fifth, Lakers at sixth, and then the bottom teams. And I think we'll see the Phoenix Suns back in the playoffs, hopefully. But without Dylan Brooks, I don't know.
I don't think they'll make it to the playoffs without Dylan Villain. But you never know. They play hard. They play the right way now. I'm excited to see it. I'm also very excited to break my fast. So we're going to wrap this episode up right here. Coach, I appreciate you. We'll have another episode on Thursday.
I'm rooting for you to get through these next X number of weeks. For you, about 3 weeks or so, I know. But I'm proud of you.
I appreciate you. And I appreciate you guys at home who are listening. Please do like, comment, subscribe, all of that. Instead of wasting your money on gambling on late season tanking teams, please donate that to a charity. That would be great. That is my one request for all of you this week. I don't even care if you subscribe. Just go send that little bit of change we're going to put into DraftKings and go give it to a charity, man. Come on. Sort your lives out. Anyway, much love, my people. We'll be back with another episode on Thursday. Until next time, get buckets.